Okay, before we begin, a commercial message. They're having an event this week, a dating panel for men. Torah Perspectives on Dating with Rav Schechter, Rav Willig, and Rabbi Brander. And everybody is urged to attend, to get insight and direction in this important matter. It's really, it's important to do it. I'm still open to suggestions for what we're normally going to be doing on Mondays. As I say, today I wanted to give a shiur on the topic of Kedushas Beis HaMedrash. It says that on the board somehow, but I didn't write it. But just in honor of the, of course, the new Beis HaMedrash that we're all enjoying. And so that'll be today's topic. Next week I think we'll do something on Inyanei Tshuva. I'm not sure if we have a next week. Next week is Labor Day, so we'll have to figure out who's going to be around. But at least the next number shiurim till after Yom Kippur, we'll do an Inyanei Tshuva, maybe Shari Tshuva, which is Ephraim's suggestion, or other perspectives on Tshuva. And then after Yontif, well, somebody, Willie, mentioned to me a suggestion of doing Kinyanei HaTorah, or we could switch off with the other topics. Again, I'm pretty much open to suggestions. Shouldn't be shy. You can talk among yourselves first, and then suggest to me. Either way, we'll look for some topics. It can be different types of things as well. Okay, but as I say, today I want to focus on the idea of Kedushas Beis HaMedrash and Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. So the Gemara here in Megillah, which is, of course, the main source of Inyanei Kedushas Beis HaKnesses and Kedushas Beis HaMedrash. So the fourth parak of Megillah. So the Mishnah here tells us that the Kedusha Beis HaKnesses is something which applies even b'churbana. Od Omer Rav Yehuda Beis HaKnesses Shecharev Ein Maspidim B'socho Ein Mafshilim B'tocho Chavalim Ein Parsel B'tocho Metzudos Ein Shotkan Al Gago Peros Ein Osonoso Kapandaria. Even b'churbano, it has retains a certain level of kedusha based on the pasuk Hashimosi Esbikdashechem Kedushasan Af Kishahein Shomimin. And then the Mishnah concludes, however, there are certain differences between korbanon and kiyuman, including olaboasavim lo yitlosh mipnei agmas nefesh. If the grass starts to grow, so actually you want, on the one hand, treat the makom with honor, at the same time you want to feel a sense of anguish in terms of, you know, what was, and you want to be spurred and inspired, both in terms of your tefillos and your activism, to rebuild this Beis HaKnesses. That itself is a topic in its own right. We can do that another time if you want, but the relationship of Beis HaKnesses, or Makom Kadosh Shecharev, and which is Mekuyam, and this balance between Kedusha and Agmas Nefesh. Fascinating topic. Either way, the Braisa then defines what is appropriate in a regular Beis HaKnesses. And we're told as follows. Tanur Rabbanan, Beis HaKnesses, Bepate Knesios, Ein Nogim Bahen Kalus Rosh. So you're prohibited to behave in a manner of Kalus Rosh in a Beis HaKnesses. Ein Ochlim Bahen, Ein Shosin Bahen, you're not allowed to eat and to drink there. Ein Niosin Bahen, which Rashi explains, Ein Miskashtin Latocho, Ein Metailin Bahen, Ein Nechnasin Bahen Behema. I'm sorry, Ein Machasin Bechama, also Ein Machnisin Bahen Behema, but that's a different story. Ein Nechnasin Bechama, Mepnei Achama, Bekshamim, Pnei Akshamim. You're not allowed to, use the Beis HaKnesses as a refuge from the inclement weather. The Ein Maspidim Bahen Hesped Shel Yachid. And you're also not allowed to conduct a Hesped Shel Yachid in the Beis HaKnesses. What are you allowed to do? Obviously, there has to be something, otherwise we wouldn't have these magnificent structures. So we're told that Aval Korim Bahen Shonim Bahen Umaspidim Bahen Hesped Shel Rabim. What you should be focusing on in the Beis HaKnesses is Korin, Torah Shebichsav, Shonin, Torah Shebalpeh, and Hesped Shel Rabim. So already the Braisa is striking, raises several questions at minimum in terms of what you're supposed to be doing in the Beis HaKnesses. So just interesting that the Korin and the Shonin are listed as two separate items. Instead of saying, Talmud Torah, Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebal Peh. Apparently, Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh are sufficiently different experiences, and that difference is important in the context of Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMedrash as to be listed separately. That in itself is important. It's not our topic for today, but it's just something to note. The third item on the list seems very different than either of the two. The first two are interesting in that they're two and not one. The third item is interesting in that it's on the list at all. What does Hesped Shel Rabim per se have to do? We understand what Korin Vishonin has to do with Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMedrash. What about Hesped Shel Rabim? First of all, what does it mean, technically? What's it doing on this list? Is it just a heter that you're allowed to have Hesped Shel Rabim? Or does Hesped Shel Rabim more of an ideal? Does it somehow symptomize, characterize the nature of Kedushas Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMedrash? Because otherwise, again, it's interesting that it's here. It's a little strange that it's here. Obviously, partially it's a contrast to Hesped Shel Yachid, so one could see it as a heter. You can't do Hesped Shel Yachid, but you can do Hesped Shel Rabim. But either way, that would make it very different than the Korin Vishonin, which is intended to be the focus, the lechatchila, what you're supposed to do in the Beis HaKnesses. Is there any way to explain that Hesped Shel Rabim, like Korin Vishonin, is something that isn't just a contrast and a heter, but something which is a lechatchila, which highlights the nature of Kedushas Beis HaKnesses? I'm just raising that question. Depending on how we understand various things, we'll come to various conclusions. Going back to the first list, the things that you're not allowed to do in the Beis HaKnesses. So there is the Ochlin, and, well, before that, there is the formulation of the Braisa itself. Bote Knesios, Ein Ogin Bahem Kalus Rosh, Ein Ochlin Ve'ein Shosin. So there are two girsos. Rashi Alatar points out that there was a girsa, Velo Garsinan Ve'ein Ochlin Bahem. And Rashi explains, De Kula Perusha De Kalus Roshin, Loshon Kalos Shemakilinosa. Obviously, there was a different girsa, and the girsa, different girsa, the point of the different girsa was, what's kalus rosh about achila l'shtia? Right? To sustain life, there needs to be achila and shtia. And if you make a bracha and you eat properly, that can be a positive thing as well. Why is that under the rubric of kalus rosh? Normally, kalus rosh is something that we define as, hitul and sicha betela, and various other things, we'll soon see cheshbonos, things that really don't belong, but things that are necessary for life, and especially that can be transformed into a davar shebekdusha. So is it so obvious that constitutes kalus rosh? And therefore Rashi is telling us there is another girsa, but in my opinion it's a wrong girsa, that achila and shtia are kalus rosh in the Beis HaKnesses. That's important as well. When we continue with the list, Ein Niosim Bahem, Miskashtim, that we certainly can understand, Ein Metailim Bahem, Ein Nechnosim Bachama, Mipnei Achama, Biksham, Mipnei Akshamim, is a little bit different. And certainly, Ein Masvidim Hesped Shel Yachid is different. Is it really a zilzul or an act of Kalus Rosh in the Beis HaKnesses? You might say this is not appropriate for a Beis HaKnesses. Would you characterize Hesped Shel Yachid as kalus rosh? And normally, I don't think that we would. Again, achila and shtia is an open question. I should add that while Rashi quotes the girsa and seems a little bit defensive, even as he rejects the girsa about achila and shtia, so that he does affirmatively categorize it as kalus rosh, I should add that Tosos is much more comfortable with the idea. Tosos Chav Chesam at base explains, Ava pikein ein nogim b'kalus rosh, pirish b'binyana, shrei b'churbana shari, Bakal, and then he says, "V'itzrich la'ashminam shum sokadai tachamina dafka achilo shtia dahav kalus rosh biyoser hu da'asor avu cheshbonos shalav kalus rosh kol kach sokadai tachamina d'shari kamash melon d'lo." So actually, Tosus thinks that achilo shtia is really kalus rosh, whereas I say certainly the other girsa denies it completely. It's not kalus rosh at all. It's a separate prohibition of achilo shtia. And Rashi is trying to defend why this might be called Kalus Rosh. And vis-a-vis something like Cheshbonos, is that more or less Kalus Rosh? There seems to be an issue. But is Hesped Shel Yachid, even if it's inappropriate and there's no matir to do it in the Beis HaKnesses, would you, or the Beis HaMedrash, would you really legitimately classify that as Kalas Rosh? I think it's at least a question. Okay. So that's in terms of the list, the basic list. The Gemara then goes on to tell us something very, very important. Skipping a little bit, the Gemara says, V'ein niosin bahen, Amar Rava chachamim v'talmideim mutarim. The Amar Rival, Rishu Levi said, my bei rabbanan, beisa de rabbanan. So chachamim and their talmidim are permitted to do niosin bahen. The Gemara, most Rishonim understand by extension, also achila and shtia. Right? I mean, I don't want to contradict the announcement that was made in the Beis Medrash, and every, you know, Beis Medrash has a right to make its own rules. But according to and we'll see in a moment, that according to different Rishonim, it's either an absolute rule or an imposed rule. We'll get to that in just a minute. But the simple reading of the Gemara, if we didn't have any other sources, Chachamim v'talmideim mutarim applies to niosin bahen, miskashtim, and certainly by extension to achila and shtia as well. The Magen Avraham argues that it's only achila and shtia. I'll read it in just a minute. As opposed to certain other things on the list. Is anything on the list that you're not allowed to do in a Beis HaKnesses permitted to Chachamim v'talmideim, or is it limited? And if so, how? Either way, this line in the Gemara is very fascinating. I mean, it's good for Chachamim and Talmideim, so we're happy about it. But it's, again, a little bit tamua when we first encounter it, and that for two reasons. Number one, the makar is strange. How do we know that you're allowed to eat and drink niosin b'beis HaKnesses? We're not quoting psukim, not from Chamisha Chumsei Torah, and not from the Vim and Ksuvim, right? Because, one more time, because my bei rabbanan, beisa de rabbanan. So where did bei rabbanan come from? Is there some pasuk that calls a beis medrash or a beis haknesses a bei rabbanan, such that you could say, well, bei rabbanan means you live there. So you live there, that means you eat there. It's a very strange makar. Obviously, it's not really a makar. It seems to be a justification more than a makar, but it's strange. That's the first point. The second question, of course, is the line of the Magen Avraham. I mentioned the Magen Avraham likes to limit the heter of Talmid Chachamim v'Talmideihem. And one of the things that he says is, if I can find it, Atu, one second. The Atu Talmid Chachamim Einam Muzharim Al Mora HaMikdash? Right? I mean, what does it mean that Talmidei Chachamim can eat and drink, and they're Talmidim, but not anyone else? If the reason is Kalus Rosh, and it's based on the principle of Mora Mikdash, so Talmidei Chachamim should be more acutely sensitive to that, not less, one would think. So, as the Magen Avraham puts it, we should limit this exception as much as possible. And what should we limit it to, and how should we understand it? So the Magen Avraham himself suggests that it's limited to achila and shtia, to nothing else on the list. And the reason is because it would be bitul zman, it would take away, distract from one's learning, for one to have to go to, what is it, Nagel's Bagels, even in the building, or maybe if it's in the building it's okay, but certainly to cross the street and to walk a few blocks or more, that would obviously take away from Talmud Torah. And therefore, the heter, let's say, of avoiding bitul zman, says the Magen Avraham, is the reason that Talmidei Chachamim, the Talmideihem, have this exception. But if that's the case, right, then you want to limit it as much as possible, because basically it does interfere with the ideal of Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMedrash. It is a zilzul, but it's a kind of heter, it's a matir, it overcomes that heter. That's a simple reading. That's the way the Magen Avraham understands it. That's why the Magen Avraham says it's limited to achila and shtia. This is Magen Avraham that I'm quoting is Simen Kuf Nun Aleph Sif Katan Beis. It says here Lachen Mutarim Lecho V'Lishtos Sham Di Mitzarchu Lelech B'Kol Pam Lecho V'Lishtos B'Beisam Yizbatlu Mili Mudam Avlemein Lomdim B'Beis HaKnesses If you don't happen to be learning now and you happen to be a Talmud Chacham, then certainly there's no heter. Asurim lecha b'lishtos sham. The atu Talmud Chachamim inam muzharim al mora hamikdash. And not only that, but certainly anything else on the list, he says, would not be, that doesn't have the same kind of imperative. Ein nechnasiba b'chama b'nei achama b'gshama b'nei agshamim, for example. And the Mashma does that. Filo Talmud Chachamim asurim. Achilo shti ashari. The Talmud Chachamim. That's the exception. He tries to prove this from the Yerushalmi and from other places as well. This is the Chiddush of the Magen Avraham, but it's understandable. It reflects that this line in the Gemara is challenging and problematic. We'd have to respond to the problems and the challenge of the Magen Avraham if we were to argue that, you know, there's some different perspective justifying Talmidei Chachamim and Talmideihem and expanding beyond Achila Ushtia. The truth is that in the Gemara, it sounds like this is connected not specifically to Achilo Shtia, but Niosin, Miskashtim, unless you say that that too obviously takes you out of the base medrash for too long a period, but it doesn't seem as urgent or time-consuming, and therefore the Magen Avraham's, you know, suggestion is not so obvious. It's even more problematic than that, as we'll see in just a minute. The Rambam also limited this idea. The Rambam in Hilchos Tfilah Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Vav and Zayin quotes this halacha, and he tells us as follows: Bate Knesios or Bate Midrashos Ein Nogemim Kalus Rosh Schok V'Hitol. Those are the ones that we would expect. Sich Betela. The Rambam's list starts with the more obvious Kalus Roshes, but then expands. Ein Ochlim Ein Shosim Ein Yosim Behem Ein Betaylin Behem Ein Nichnasim Behem Lo Becham Neacham Lo Gshom Bneagshamim. Then he adds, "V'chachamim v'talmideim mutarim lechov lishos v'hen," except that he adds one word, "midochek." Doesn't say that in the Gemara anywhere, right? That's the Rambam's way of solving, again, the Magen Avraham's problem. The Magen Avraham also quotes the Rambam. The word "midochek" also appears in Shulchan Aruch because of the Rambam. We'll soon see the Shulchan Aruch has the second day as well, but according to the Rambam, this is all midochek. Now, why is it midochek? Because of the reasoning of the Magen Avraham that it's a heter based on Bittelsman, or maybe some, you know, a little more ambitious formulation. We'll get to that in just a second. But either way, the Rambam limits midochek, the circumstances of this heter. Okay. Good. The Gemara continues with a story, and this story puts some pressure on both the Rambam, maybe a little Rambam, but certainly on the Magen Avraham. Gemara tells a story. What is Ein Nechnasim B'Cham B'Nei Acham B'Gsham B'Nei Akshamim? Ki Hod Ravina V'Ravadi Bar Masna Havakayma V'Sholi She'ilta Me'Rava. Right, Ravina and Ravadi were speaking and learning with Rava, and they're doing this outside. And also Zilcha the Mitra, all of a sudden it started pouring. So what happened was, Aili Lebei Knishta. They went inside the Beis HaKnesses. Then the Gemara says, Omri, they said, they were obviously defensive about entering the Beis HaKnesses to avoid the rain. So they said, Haidai lino lebeik nishta, lav mishum mitra, el mishum deshmaita, boi tzilusa, kiyoma deistana. In other words, we're not coming here because we want to get out of the rain and don't want to get wet. It's because it'll defect the quality of our halachic discourse, right? Not because we don't want to get wet, but because we want to maintain the level, you know, the degree of concentration that's necessary to accomplish the goal. That's the Gemara. So the Rishonim asked the question, didn't we just say, according to Rava, and they were speaking to Rava, right, that according to Rava, Talmidei Chachamim v'Talmideihem are allowed to eat and to drink in the Beis HaKnesses. So what's the issue? What's the problem? So the Magen Avraham will answer. The story of the Gemara proves that Ein Adome, Niosin, and Achilo Shti on the one hand, and the problem of Mipnea, Bakshamim Pneach, Shamim Bacham Pneachama, you know, weather related issues on the other. I mean, there's no issue of Bittel Talmud Torah except what the Gemara finally says, Mishum Tzilusa, namely, if the quality of the Talmud Torah is going to be enhanced by being inside and getting out from under the rain, then that's the pretty much the same. Again, the Magen Avraham doesn't say Vim Tomer V'Yesh Lomar, but that's what he's hinting at when he mentions this point in the Gemara. obviously, this is the distinction itself. Or, if you take the view of the Rambam, Mishum Dochak, so then we also understand, even though there is the heter of Mishum Dochak, so maybe, this is what the Beis Yosef says, maybe it's not so terrible to suffer a little bit of rain. The Dochak of the rain, let's say, isn't as urgent as the Dochak of the Niosin and the Achilo Shti, or let's say it wasn't, maybe it was a very light rain. So the Gemara is telling us that the only reason they came in was Mishum Tzilusa and not Mishum Dochak. It didn't qualify yet for Dochak. But if we take the Gemara Kipshuto, not like the Rambam and not like the Magen Avraham, which is that Talmidei Chachamim and Talmideihem have a heter of Achila and Shnia and Niosin, etc., so we just don't understand what's the Gemara talking about. Why do we need this justification, Mishum Tzilusa? So the Ran addresses this question, and the Ran came up with a very, very important conclusion, very important shita, which is quoted also in the Shulchan Aruch. Tesa ben Aleph in the Dape Arif, Dibre Maskel Ravina, he asks this question, Af agav de batei knisios de Bavel al tnayin asuyos? That's a slightly different question, right? The batei knisios of Bavel were made al tnay. Ani mili b'shas adchak. The kan loya dochek kolkach. Right? The af agav damrinan, that's the first question. So even though there's a tnay, that when they made the batei knesios in Bavel, because they knew that eventually they would be going back to Eretz Yisrael, so they hedged against full kedushas beis haknesses. Nonetheless, here it was in Hanim B'Shas Adchak, V'kan Lo Yadochak Kolkach, which I say works well for the Rambam as well. The Dochak wasn't sufficient, and therefore he needed the other justification. But then he goes on to say, V'af Agav Dar Minach HaChomim V'Talmidei Mutarim Mashmali Hainu B'Beis HaMedrash U'Lefish Omdim Shom Kalayom K'Narminan Mai Bei Rabbanon Beis HaDerabbanon. After all, what is the Makor? Mai Bei Rabbanon Beis HaDerabbanon. And the Beis Medrash is where the Talmidei Chachamim hang out all day. So this special heter is limited to Beis HaMedrash, not to Beis HaKnesses. Avo Beis HaKnesses, lo. That's the position of the Rav. So this idea that there's a difference between Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMedrash is very important. Now again, in contrast to the Rambam thinks that Tanai, for example, works in its own right. The Rambam thinks that Dochak works in its own right. On the other hand, according to the Rambam, there's no difference whatsoever between Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMedrash, and this whole halacha of Talmidei Chachamim v'Talmideihem is limited. On the other hand, for the Ran, Beis HaKnesses, right, you have this factor of Tanai as well, Tanai and B'dochak, etc. On the other hand, in Beis HaMedrash, it would appear that the Ran is much more liberal. He doesn't even require B'dochak. Oh. Now, if this is the case, so we need to understand a little bit better what's going on in the Ran. Okay. The Ran adds this line, after all, the Talmidei Chachamim are there all day. It's a Bei Rabbanon, that referring to the Makor. If we could take the Ran Kipshuto, we could say that it's an expanded Magen Avraham. He disagrees with the Magen Avraham clearly, even though the Magen Avraham quotes the Ran partially and doesn't quote that this part of it is against the Shita. Namely, according to the Ran, the heter of Talmidei Chachamim and Talmideihem clearly applies not only to Achila Ushtia, but to Nichnas B'chama B'nei Achama B'Gshamim B'nei Agshamim. That's why the Ran was bothered, and that's why he came to the conclusion that Beis Medrash is shiny, and as I mentioned before, that appears in the Shulchan Aruch as well. Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam, and then he quotes also Talmidei Chachamim v'Talmideihem mutarim l'echol b'lishos v'hem midochak. Sorry, the Ramads v'yei shomrim to the Beis HaMedrash afilu shelo midochak shari, quoting the Ran. But according to the Ran, there's no difference between achilo shtia. If we were to take the Ran kipshuto, though, what he means is, oh, they're there all day, we don't want to distract them, we don't want them to leave. So if that's really all that he meant, so then why would it apply to Geshamim b'nei Geshamim and Chamam b'nei Achama? Why wouldn't it be limited only to Achilo Shtia? At least that seems to be a legitimate question. There are other questions that are raised against the Ran, important questions. Some of the Achronim ask, After all, don't we know that a Beis Hamedrash vis-a-vis a Beis HaKnesses is considered to be on a higher level of Kedusha? Malim Bakodesh v'lo Moridin. You can sell a Beis HaKnesses in order to acquire a Beis Hamedrash, or you can transform a Beis HaKnesses into a Beis Medrash. You're not supposed to go in the other direction. Kedushas Beis Hamedrash is on a higher Madrega than Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. How could it be, according to the Ran, that when it comes to Beis HaKnesses, there's no heter of Talmidei Chachamim v'Talmideihem? And when it comes to Beis Medrash, which has a higher level of Kedusha, seemingly more demanding, we're more makil when it comes to Achila and Shtia and Kishut and even B'Gshamim B'nei Gshamim B'Chama B'Pnei Achama. That seems to be intuitively problematic. Moreover, the question of the Magen Avraham Atu Talmidei Chachamim Einam Muzarim applies bein b'beis haKnesses, bein b'beis haMedrash, and again, in light of the previous question, maybe even more so to beis haMedrash. Now, Chronim asks a different question as well. After all, the rule is that when you have a beis haKnesses, even when it's b'churbana, as we know, right, Hashimosi afa bisha shmumim heim b'kedushasam heim kaimim, which basically means that even if it's not functioning as a Beis HaKnesses now, the fact that it previously did, that past history, continues to be koveya in terms of what you can and cannot do in the precincts of the Beis HaKnesses. So if that's true, namely that past history is presently relevant in terms of Tashmishim, the Beis HaKnesses, so why not simply say you had a Beis HaKnesses, in that Beis HaKnesses it was prohibited, right, even for Talmidei Chachamim, v'talmideihem, to be ochel v'shoso miskashet v'nichnas v'geshem v'pnei agshamim, etc. So even though now you've turned it into a Beis Medrash, there should be no such heter. And I would just add, well, I can't prove to you that it's not so. I mean, in theory, one could say that the Ran's reading of Rava is only applicable to a original Beis HaMedrash. But in Achanami, if you took a Beis HaKnesses and you transformed it into a Beis HaMedrash, there would be no heter of Talmidei Chachamim v'Talmideihem. I can't prove that that's not true, but me'olam, you know, lo matzasi, I wouldn't say lo matzinu, you know, davar zeh. As far as I know, no one makes such a suggestion. It's not impossible to make such a suggestion and justify it, obviously, but I'm not aware that it's so. In which case, the question is, why don't we say, again, malin v'lo maridin, not only with respect to purchasing a Beis Medrash or building a Beis Medrash instead of a Beis HaKnesses. But why don't we say within that structure that you can never, you know, derogate the level of Kedusha, and therefore you're always held to that higher standard. In this case, if for technical or other reasons, Beis HaKnesses has a higher standard, so the new Beis Medrash should be also Bachilo Shtia, which would mean that even according to the Ran, you would have situations of a Beis Medrash which is awesome. That, of course, doesn't seem to be the case. So what's going on here, according to the Ran? So I think that there can be two, broadly speaking, two approaches, and since time is short, when do they daven? 33? We'll try to get there. I don't think that we're always going to get there, but we'll try. I think I can suggest two approaches. The first approach is to go back to the first issue in question. Namely, how come Hesped Shel Yachid is Kalus Rosh, and according to Rashi, even though it's Bedocha, Kachila and Shtila is Kalus Rosh, what do we mean by Kalus Rosh in the context of Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMedrash, and maybe that'll help us with the Ran as well. So I'd like to suggest is that maybe, in this context at least, Kalus Rosh is not an objective category. It's one which is flexible, it's a sliding scale according to the expectations of usage, according to the frame of reference of the structure in question. And the principle, just the short principle, I think one could be mechalic between these things and their nafkamina, but the short story is that I think there are several ways to explain this point. The Kedushas Beis HaKnesses of Beis HaMedrash is such that, number one, we have greater or higher expectations, and therefore even that which is considered perfectly respectable conduct in another context is considered zilzul kedusha in a context where our expectations are to begin with higher. Moreover, part of the idea may be, just like ein mechavnin melacha b'moed, even things that are permissible on chol hamoed, but if you schedule them on chol hamoed for convenience, that becomes a problem. So too, things that can take place, neutral things, or innocuous but necessary things, that theoretically could take place outside of a makom kadosh, that you choose to house in a makom kadosh, for no other reason than convenience, become an exploitation of makom kadosh, per se. Not because inherently what you're accomplishing therein is problematic, but just the decision to use a makom kadosh instead of as an exchange, let's say, as a substitute for a makom chol in something that is appropriate to be done in makom chol, that constitutes a violation of kedushas hamakom. Moreover, the idea of beis haknesses, beis hamedrash, I'm not going to prove this right now, is very much bound up with the idea of kedushas hatzibur. And individual activities, even hesped shel yachid, constitutes, therefore, zilzul kedusha. The beis haknesses and beis medrash belong to the organic tzibur of Klal Yisrael. So even if the activities, achila, shtiyah, hesped, right, are not in the category of zilzul in other areas of halacha, when it comes to these three or four factors, namely the heightened expectations, the question of exploitation, you know, and substitution of makom chol, and the question of tzibur and yachid, we view the beis haknesses and beis hamedrash in a totally different way, and it becomes zilzul. But if that's the case, then it works in both directions. Then when there is an urgency to accomplish something inside the beis haknesses or the beis hamedrash, it's not a heter, a matir of behavior that otherwise is zilzul. It rather becomes consistent with the makom. And therefore, if objectively it's not zilzul kedusha, it's not hitul, and it's not sicha betela, and it's not, you know, schok, but it's achila and shtia and hesped, etc. And the only place to do it is in this makom, because it's a din in the tzibur, because there's no other place to be mechabed the mace. If you chase the Talmud Chacham out, it's going to, you know, he can't eat in the cafeteria because it's an afgamina, you know, 45 minutes of his learning. So then it's not gratuitous anymore, and it's not exploitive, and it's not a substitute for. There are good reasons why the venue is appropriate. And if that's the case, so we're not talking about being more makil or a matir or a clash in a matir. We're talking about redefining what constitutes zilzul and what constitutes kedusha. And if that's true, so then let's go back to some of the issues and the questions, right? The Gemara says, and what's the source of this? It's called Bei Rabbanan. And Bei Rabbanan means Beis HaRabbanan, meaning these are the expectations. These are not inconsistent with expectations, they're not exploitive, they're not substitutive. They are what you would expect to be done in a Beis Medrash, not inconsistent with the demanding expectations, etc. Moreover, what do we ask? How can it be that the level, according to the Ran, of conduct in the Beis Medrash is lower than the level of conduct in the Beis HaKnesses, which has inferior Kedusha, Malam HaKodesh V'lo Maridin? The answer is not inferior, just that the circumstances of Talmid HaChamim, the Talmidehem, right, render certain activities perfectly legitimate and normal, whereas for other people, or in the context of the Beis HaKnesses, they would really be Zilzul Kedusha. And if that's the case, let's take it even one step further. Even when you have Beis HaKnesses, right, which turns into a Beis Medrash, so instead, afilu shimumim, right, it shouldn't be worse than something which is charev. You can't lessen the level of Kedusha. But in the context of its new status as a Beis HaMedrash, and this sliding scale of zilzul and appropriate behavior, it's not that previously, you know, you could do dvar mizilzalim, but, you know, I'm sorry, previously you couldn't because it was a Beis HaKnesses, and now you can. Just that in its guise, in its life as a Beis HaKnesses, this was viewed as something which is inconsistent with its Kedusha, and its present context and framework, this is something that is totally consistent with what it is. If that's the case, we can answer the various questions. Moreover, I think one can make the argument that when it comes to Talmud Chacham, his activities are, and hopefully Talmideim, the activities are inherently connected to the tzibur, in terms of the benefit of the tzibur. Moreover, even activities like eating and drinking, you know, hopefully take on a different coloration when the context of Talmud Chacham and Suda and, you know, everything that goes along with it is factored in as well. That would help to explain some of these issues, meaning the sliding scale of what constitutes Zilzul and Kavod. That part would not explain the difference between Beis HaMedrash and Beis HaKnesses. Okay. I think there's another perspective as well, according to the Ran. And that is that, going back to that first question, Bei Rabbanon, Bei Midrasha, Bei Rabbanon, Beis HaDerabbanon. I think one could argue that, according to the Ran, the nature of Kedushas Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMedrash are fundamentally different. In part, this has to do with the nature of Tefillah and Talmud Torah, but in addition to that, I think it goes to that profound comment of the Gemara, not as a mokar, but of embodying and characterizing what it is that a Beis Medrash is supposed to be. A Beis Medrash is supposed to be Bei Rabbanon, Beis HaDerabbanon. It's supposed to be a place in which Talmud Chacham, you know, perceives that he lives, and in fact, lives there. And its Kedusha derives precisely from that status. You don't need a makar. What the Gemara was saying is the essence of Beis Medrash, as opposed to Beis HaKnesses, is Beis HaDerabbanon. And if that's the case, then of course anything that is necessary to obviate Bittul Torah, you know, is not only mutar, but is not defined as zilzul. It's more than that. That's part of Beis HaDerabbanon. And even if the achila and the shtia of the Talmud Chacham is the same as the achila and the shtia of everybody else, the point is this is his home. And if it's his home, which it isn't necessarily to other people in the same way, then a certain familiarity, achila ushtia, is called for. This isn't a heter, in a way it's a kiyum. Establishing the comfort level and the, you know, ubiquity of the Talmud Chacham's life in the Beis HaMedrash is something which is a kiyum in the Beis HaMedrash itself. In that case, when the Ran said what he said, he wasn't saying like the Magen Avraham, you know, he needs it for, you know, precluding Bittul Torah. What he was saying was, this is where he lives, this is his home, this is where he hangs his hat, as the case may be, etc. And if this is true, then we can totally understand, again, the issue in light of the question of the Achronim. What do they ask? If Kedushas Beis HaMedrash is higher than Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, how could it be that according to the Ran, the heter of Talmidei Chachamim, the Talmideim, will apply? But what we're saying is, these are two totally different types of Kedusha. And part of what makes a Beis HaMedrash Malin Bakodesh is precisely the fact that it's Bei Rabbanon. And therefore, it isn't a compromise, and it isn't an anomaly at all. It's part of being Bei Rabbanon, which gives it its Kedusha, which allows for Achila and Shtia and Niosin and Bachamam and Pnei Achama. You would walk into your house, the Talmud Chacham walks into his Beis Medrash, and the Beis Medrash is enhanced in its Kedusha by virtue of that. And the same thing is true with regard to the second question, namely, Afapisha Shmuminheim Bikdushasanhein. The point is, it's true that this is a Beis HaKnesses, but now it's a Beis Medrash. In the context of a Beis HaKnesses Shecharev, you have one Kedusha. And the point is, there's a remnant of that Kedusha, even in its state of desolation. But we're talking about Malim Bakodesh, right? So it's not Kol Shekein at all. The point is, you had Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, and now you have Kedushas Beis HaMedrash. As long as we don't view this as a concession and a compromise, what we're really saying is that, of course, you totally eclipse a Beis HaKnesses with a Beis HaMedrash and with its different Kedusha. That's exactly what it's about. When you go from Kedusha to non-Kedusha, you may still have to attend to the remnants of previous Kedusha. But if you eclipse Kedusha Kala with Kedusha Chamura, and part of Kedusha Chamura includes activities which would have been inappropriate in the context of Kedusha Kala, so what? It's a new Kedusha. So both in terms of the fact that it's a different Chalos Kedusha, and that it's not a Kula in its context either, but is itself a Kiyum in a higher level of Kedusha, for both of those reasons, this is not a problem at all. So maybe I'll speak another 5 minutes about this the next time we get a chance, but some of the hashkafic, I think, considerations. Hesped Arabim I'll leave also to then just to speak 5 more minutes. But I think that, you know, as I say, as we enjoy the new Beis Medrash, the idea that the Beis Medrash is a home, a Bei Rabbanan for Talmid Chachamim, the Talmideim, is really a very important and very inspiring perspective, and one which should make us feel a sense of ownership in the, you know, in the most positive and spiritually ambitious sense of the word, the sense that this is really our makom and a place in which we can grow and thrive. Okay, thank you. Do we make it or should we die?
What?
We should probably die. We'll be able to make it.
235.
Oh,
so should we dive in here?
Yeah, we're not going to.